Fertilizer PharmaShock is a compounding crisis that ties energy choke points directly to crop yields and medicine supplies in a chain reaction Washington refuses to acknowledge.
And just think about this. They have no Navy. They have no military. They have no nothing. They're losing. They admit they're losing. They're begging to make a deal.
Iran's closure of the Strait of Hormuz has halted roughly one-third of global seaborne fertilizer trade and nearly half the world's urea, the critical nitrogen source for crop growth.
The U.S. is a net exporter of fertilizer, but we have big fertilizer problems in the United States because, remember, even if you're exporting it, and the price has gone up. So if you're from Iowa, where I'm from, You're paying a lot more for fertilizer this planting season, assuming you didn't buy it ahead of time, which, by the way, most of the farmers didn't. They've been in a little bit of a tight squeeze. Often they buy input, seed and fertilizer, prior to a year in advance of planting. Well, this year they didn't. So they're buying it basically not forward, but buying it on the spot market.
Urea prices from the Middle East have surged from under $500 per metric ton to around $700 or higher, with overall fertilizer costs up more than 50% year over year. Spring wheat planting could hit the lowest levels since 1970.
Setting the table on farmers is they were in bad shape prior to the war financially. They were getting squeezed. So as a result, they didn't do what they often do, and that's buy their inputs forward, buy them a year in advance.
Oh, wow. So they did that. They did that even before the crisis we're facing right now.
Yes.
Russia has suspended ammonium nitrate exports. China has restricted key blends to protect domestic prices. And India faces gas shortages threatening its urea output. With 318 million people already in acute hunger, analysts warn another 45 million could slide into crisis if disruptions last beyond June. Layer on the pharmaceutical strike, Iranian missiles hit Israel's Neot Hovav industrial zone, home to Teva Pharmaceutical, the world's largest generic drug maker, and Adama Chemical Facilities. Teva supplies affordable generics for cancer, heart, respiratory, and neurological treatments relied on by hospitals worldwide, especially in third world nations. Pre-existing shortages were already severe. Prices will rise, access will tighten, and chronic patients could face rationing or expensive switches in the months ahead. Iran's closure stranded Qatar's North Field output 33% of global helium. That also left 200 cryogenic helium containers at risk of total boil-off within weeks. No helium means no chips for AI GPUs or data centers, while India's 70,000 MRI machines and semiconductor memory supplies face immediate pressure. Jet fuel has at least doubled in the U.S., with airlines warning of dry inventories, cancellations, and rerouting, while diesel tightness grips Australia and South Korea, prompting wartime economic measures.
Chanju, what is the South Korean government doing to address all of these problems?
They've launched a full-scale emergency economic response involving the offices of the president, the prime minister, and more. They're also looking to pass a war supplementary budget, and they're urging the public to conserve energy.
The just-in-time global system that was built on cheap energy, fragile choke points, and the illusion of endless efficiency has had its table flipped over. Stock what you reasonably can, demand real domestic resilience over globalist fantasies, and build tolerance for uncomfortable truths that are imminent. John Bound, reporting for InfoWars.
Yeah. I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. And you said earlier it would. I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Dune, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexShowStore.com.
She saw both their lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air. Jesus, take the wheel. Take it.
Oh, we love the crew, man. We love the crew.
Amazing.
You know, it's fun to see what our organic meme style has been. We got the Nothing Burger, the 1,000-year mortgage, and now we got Jesus taking the wheel.
I need that. I need him to take the wheel of that $300,000 Cullinan. Yes, I do.
The AI is scary because that's scary. The first time I've actually seen it look like me. You know, maybe me like 10 or 20 years older, but that one actually looks like me. So that's crazy. Let's get into the deep dive because we were talking about this a little bit earlier on last week. Actually, I was on the solo show. These data centers, what's going on?
So today's deep dive, I wanted to look into these data centers because it is something that doesn't get enough coverage.
Right.
And I wanted to talk about all the things that you don't see behind the scenes. We're going to look at what it looks like inside of one. We're going to look at what it costs to actually run these. We're going to look at the actual impact to you at home. And that is the main thing here because information is everything. And there's a real possibility that this gets out of hand and that the grid cannot handle all these changes all at once. So,
all right,
we're going to start off at the top here. And let's pull up that picture of the house near the data center. This look at this photo here.
You want to live there, guys? I don't want
to. This is a real photo. I thought it was AI at first, but most people experience AI through a screen, you know, a chat bot, maybe a search bar, maybe a writing tool, maybe like a feature inside of an app they already use.
Right.
But they don't see the physical system behind that. And this is part of that physical system, right?
Okay.
In a large industrial building right next to the normal neighborhood like you're seeing here. And so, you know, using AI feels digital, but the building is a very physical and big project. And it takes land, it takes power, it takes cooling, it takes backup systems and a lot of infrastructure.
Right.
And the impact doesn't stay inside of the tech world for very long. It starts trickling out into the rest of society. And so if we pull up number two here, let's pull up the picture of this like heat map of where all the data centers are, because it is shocking. So if you take a look at the top right corner, you're going to see this giant like bubble of data centers that exist in Virginia and kind of West Virginia in that area. There is a reason why that's happening. And so a lot of this build out is happening in Northern Virginia for practical reasons. So this region had a lot of strong fiber connections, reliable power, major customers nearby, open land, and they also had tax advantages that allowed them to get like bids. And then you also look at the fact that once it happened, the region became even more attractive because the next builders, the people who wanted to be close to the existing networks and existing infrastructure and existing customers,
right,
that's why they started flocking there. So this county, Loudoun County alone, already has 200 data centers built or approved around it.
Okay.
Can you believe that?
I can, but I mean, I don't want to live there. I can't imagine what that's like. Why can't we just put all of them in the panhandle?
That is the question here. And we're going to talk about it because it's about the resources and locality, but also they're building them everywhere. If you don't think that this is something that's secluded, if we can pull that map back up, you think it's not going to hit you, but unless you're like in the middle of
New England is crazy.
New England is crazy. I'm sorry if you're in the East Coast right now. Florida's starting to build out. Here in Texas, we're starting to see them in Austin. Dallas has a big cluster of them.
Yeah, look up north.
Yep.
It's pretty crazy.
It gets pretty crazy, and that's the Northeast is where you have the largest concentration of population or density of population.
Is there a state with no data center? I don't think there is.
No, you've got like Wyoming and Idaho and North Dakota. They've got a little bit, but like even North Dakota and South Dakota have them. Damn, so
there's nowhere you can hide from the machines.
It's nowhere you can hide. So what happened here is now we have the spreading into the other communities in the state. And before getting the bill into the bill of like what it looks like when it hits your pocket, we've got to look at what these buildings actually do. So let's look at this video that shows us what the inside of a data center looks like. It was very hard for these people to get this video because most of the companies like AI, Meta, they're secret. They were like, we can't allow you in this building.
Yeah.
So they went into the smaller one that I think was in Wyoming that allowed them to see it. And this is only like 10% of the size of some of these bigger ones. So let's go ahead and roll the clip.
Hey, Gordon. Welcome to Lunavi. Well, come on in. I'll show you a tour.
This 35,000 square foot data center is tiny compared to the largest ones in the US. Those can stretch to well over 1 million square feet. Lunavi offers cloud services to customers like betting apps, mapping companies, insurance, and healthcare businesses. Zoom out and you can see that the location is no accident. Cheyenne, the capital of Wyoming, sits on an east-west internet superhighway. The city is also well connected to renewable energy generated by these wind farms. Wyoming is only a small player compared to Virginia, and to attract more, the state is offering generous tax breaks to encourage the big tech giants, like Microsoft. This large data center began emerging from the map south of Cheyenne in 2021, and this is a site belonging to Meta, just over the road.
You're currently within the critical infrastructure space of Data Center 2, designed to have 800 cabinets, roughly, at full capacity on that side. So we take the air from the above-ceiling grid. We feed it down through the computers. They heat the air up, comes back out the back and up through the chimney above ceiling, and then just continually circulates the air on that perspective.
Lunavi has the space to scale up to the more energy-hungry GPU processors used to train AI algorithms.
So this big white space is future computing. The cabinets in this facility now have a capacity of something like 5 to 10 kW. If they want to build the ones that are going to do AI with graphic processing units, GPUs, that'll go up to something like 70 to 100 kW.
GPUs do need more power, but they can complete more tasks than a regular processing chip and in less time. The lower ambient temperatures in the high plains of Wyoming mean data centers use less energy and water to cool themselves. Lunavi say they use around 500,000 gallons of water a month when at full capacity. That's roughly the amount of water used by 200 people.
Okay, so, I mean, look, it sounds small, but again, this is a small...
Well, no.
Data center.
You got a town, and they build other towns around it made out of computers. That's what it looks like to me, because we got that map of the city there. You got Meta, and then you got, I think it was Microsoft, was it not?
Yeah.
And it's just, if you combine those two places, they built this as big as the town.
Well, and you're asking why these data centers need to be around the civilian population and why they can't just be in the middle of nowhere. It's because they rely on the same resources that we use as the common
Would that be person. The fiber optic cable?
It's fiber optic, but then it's also water.
Mm-hmm.
The source of water, and often these we build towns and cities around bigger volumes of water.
Sure.
And then also the electricity grid itself.
Sure.
Well, so the power grid.
It looked like that one specific place in Wyoming was just a textbook for what you want for the data center.
Yeah. And so then you got to look at it. We've always had data centers. And, you know, your email, your cloud storage, your photos and your streaming have already depended on that physical building. But the AI takes it to another level. OK, so he talked about like that 10 to 50 kilowatts. And then he said, well, with AI, you would need 70 to 105 or 100 kilowatts. And that makes a very big difference in the amount of power demand. And so
you're the engineer. I'm not. So go ahead, get into it.
No, I mean, I'm not going to bore people with the specifics of that. It's just, again, more power. You have to get that power from somewhere. So you have to take it from the existing power grid in order to run that. And that's just a small center. He's just talking about this small little plant that's like, I mean, I think he said 50,000 square feet, which is a lot. But you're talking about
a million.
But you're talking about, yeah, compared to a million. There are people that are building massive ones that you couldn't even fathom how big they are.
You know what I was thinking about as I'm watching that video? I'm thinking about how well paid the HVAC technicians are that have to maintain the air conditioning system. Those are the real jobs of the future.
That is good. You're right. There's a lot of things that go into there that are secondary that we don't think about, that they're also making money from this.
Right.
And it's out of necessity. It's not like the HVAC company was like, ooh, I want data centers all over. It's just they get to benefit as a byproduct.
One person can send an email firing people for HR. Another person can maintain the board computer system that's running the world. Mm-hmm. Look what's going to get phased out. Look what's coming and getting phased out.
Well, and what the difference between the normal internet and AI is, your internet already uses computing power, but the AI uses something that's more demanding. And so they're training these large models on higher volumes of data. And those data models run constantly for millions of users, because millions of users are querying every single second of the day. And OpenAI has like a billion or two users daily. That's not even counting the rest of the AI
algorithms. Well, I can go ask a question about season 5 of SpongeBob and burn 5 liters of water, you know, and everyone else can as well. And we talk about it a lot, just the contributory effect of just the global marketplace of everyone using these things.
Yes, yes. And so, you know, the other thing is, between 2021 and 2024, the number of data centers have already doubled. Wow. So in 2025, the industry expected to spend about $475 billion more on data centers.
And you remember Trump gave them $500 billion in Project Stargate. Pretty much one of the first things he did in office, he basically has said, I'm going to be the AI president.
Mm-hmm.
So he's ushering all this in.
And so what this means is, you're going to see data centers popping up left and right, left and right, left and right. And they're going to hit a city near you. I mean, we're not that we're in a very dense populated area. You're going to start seeing data centers trickled throughout. You know how you see big spot plots of empty land?
He's building one in Bastrop right now.
Mm-hmm.
Elon Musk, he's building a data center up in Bastrop.
For Grok, right?
Yep, I believe so.
So now, once much of the demand has hit the grid, the cost doesn't just stay inside of the company and, you know, just whatever is causing it. It actually starts showing up in most places that people don't think about. And so the main place is here on the electric bill.
Wow.
Okay. What you need to pay attention to, and I encourage every single person to go pull up, is something that, you know, it's something that, like, you just get an electronic bill sent to you and not everybody's looking at it. Well, you should start taking a look at it, because the first sign that people are looking at is this delivery charge, okay? So the delivery charge is the cost of the electricity itself and the cost of moving it to you and maintaining the systems around it. So there was a utility model that we built here in the United States where it's over like 100 years old. It was basically, we were going to socialize the cost and spread the cost across an entire area for the utilities and the infrastructure it took to supply the power to people's houses, because you couldn't get around it. So, you know, this works better when the growth is kind of like shared and it's kind of slow. But there is a small number of these giant corporations who need an extreme amount of data in order to run it. And they're not paying their fair share, even though they're causing most of the demand. Most of the demand is actually flatlined for people. We're not consuming like significantly more energy.
Well, and this is what they say. They say they want to have it run on a meter, right? Just like electricity, just like water. They want to run intelligence on a meter. But they want all of us to publicly subsidize their ability to use millions of times the computing power versus what we would use already just in average everyday life.
Yes. So remember, like, if you didn't notice, you're like, whoa, why is my electricity bill going up? Take a look at your delivery cost. Those are where the hidden fees are getting put into. Okay.
It costs us more to deliver the energy.
It costs us more to deliver the energy, but it is a broad statement.
Okay.
It's the cost to deliver the electricity and maintain the delivery infrastructure.
And
if you
need more delivery infrastructure, you gotta pay for it. Wow.
You see the equation here?
Ain't that a raw deal for the American people? They're literally just saying, screw you. Like, that's pretty much what it is right there in your electric bill.
And so a perfect example of this, we have a company called PJM, which covers 13 states and about 65 million people.
Okay.
And so the last major capacity auction saw prices jump 800%. And the capacity auction is like how much you're paying for the capacity of the grid. And according to the material, the data centers drove 63% of that increase in that 800%. It wasn't even the people. It was the company that's needing that demand. And so this brings us to the point of, you know, these other companies are structuring deals like Meta, Google, Amazon. They're structuring the deals to where they're only paying for a percentage of the infrastructure that they need.
Right.
They're structuring deals behind the American people's back. And this video is going to show it perfectly. Let's play number five of what Meta has been doing behind the American behind Americans' backs.
One recent example is happening right now in Louisiana with a data center being developed by Meta.
Last year, a utility company in Louisiana proposed to spend $3 billion on a new power plant to meet electricity demand from a Meta data center. The full terms of its deal with Meta are secret, but redacted regulatory filings have revealed that the public is on the hook for Meta's power plant.
Meta has signed a 15-year deal, and it only obligates them to pay for about half of that $3 to $4 billion of infrastructure, which means that there's a big risk that everyone else in Louisiana will get stuck with the rest of that bill.
I believe deeply in building personal superintelligence for everyone.
Pause
and
it.
At Meta, we have the
Ain't that a face you can trust?
Yeah. Go back to the photo of him.
Yes.
Does this look like a face that you can trust, like Rex?
Would you trust him to babysit your data for you? He's going to keep it all safe?
Oh, no, Rex. He cares about people.
And you see Elon get pushed out. You see Zuck get brought in. Ain't that something?
This is the new face. This is the new face of capitalism here.
The lizard man.
Go ahead and play the rest of it.
Sources to build the massive infrastructure required and the ability to deliver new technology to billions of people.
Meta saw an opportunity to negotiate a massive data center deal without the public having any input. And to this day, there is still massive amounts of detail about that Meta AI complex that the people of Louisiana have no information about.
In Virginia, the utility company Dominion Energy has proposed to build six new power plants to meet data center demand, the first at a cost of $4.5 billion. According to one estimate, only 30% of that will be paid for by the customer class that includes data centers.
At Dominion Energy, we know power is personal.
Residential customers will pay about half the cost, despite the fact that residential demand for electricity has flatlined. Dominion projects that average residential electric bills will more than double to $315 a month in the next 15 years, primarily due to data centers.
Oh, and here's the thing. That's like an underestimation.
Right.
Because you're not taking into all the other things that are happening, not even just with the power plants, but also the inflation.
Sure.
All of those things stack up. So you're...
Well, the American people are being nickeled and dimed to death here. Absolutely, yeah. Being, you know, just penny pinched into destitution. And this is not fair for anybody. And it's like we just said, they want to run these things on a meter. They want to make you pay so that they can use thousands, if not millions of times, the intelligence that you're able to.
Well, and the biggest problem here is, you know, they're making these deals behind closed door. It's not like they're doing it at the town hall where people get to speak on it and understand what's happening.
You don't get to say.
It's a private negotiation in which if you try to get information or access to the documentation, it's all redacted like the Epstein files.
Oh, well, it's Epstein's friends anyway. It's all a big club, right?
Yeah. And so what they want to do is they want to hide the true cost. They want to hide the true impact that happens to you at home. And you're just supposed to silently take it.
Right.
And that's what happens a lot in our system here in America. The big corporation has all the money in the world to do the lobbying, to do the negotiations, to make the best deal happen. And they don't take the average person that lives in that area in mind. They don't care. They just care that you're using their resource, which you're already paying for it, by the way.
Sure.
You're paying for the things that Meta has created. Just from the subscriptions and the things that you buy off of Instagram and TikTok and all that stuff. And then you get an extra tax on your internet bill.
Yeah.
it's just the most beautiful thing I've seen.
Their argument to it is jobs. We're creating jobs. People have to build it. People have to work there. We're stimulating the economy. Well, you're building jobs for foreign people. You're building jobs for people that are coming from out of state. You're building jobs that are temporary, ultimately.
Temporary.
And the cost is forever.
Yes.
The cost does not go away. Just like inflation.
You hit the nail on the head. Temporary. Because when you build something, you're not building it forever. Once the building is done, it's done, and those guys are moving on to a new project. Second thing is you have AI coming into the equation where it's able to maintain a lot of the things and the jobs that you would expect there to be.
Right.
So people are already getting replaced in the job market, and you only need a handful of people, or not a handful, but like, let's say a few hundred or so to maintain some of these data centers with all the new technology and the systems that they have in place. But the thing that is the biggest slap in the face is these AI companies and tech companies have been sitting on a boatload of cash. I'm talking billions of dollars. When they sold their shares back in 2023, when the stock market was at all-time highs and the S&P 500, they were silently taking cash off the table from their stocks when they were artificially pulling them up. So let's take a look at this. You've got Microsoft, which is about – they've got $95 billion approximately. Apple, is that $48 billion? Is that what that says?
Apple, I believe so.
And then you've got Meta, who's got about $70 billion of cash.
Google at $125 and BH at $340 billion.
Amazon is at $95 billion as well.
Wow.
So you look at these numbers – and they said, oh, it should cost like around $4 to $4.5 billion to build something, right?
Right.
And they're only paying 50% when you're sitting on all this cash. Does it make sense? Whereas you, as the average American, is already struggling to put food on your table, and they want you to put up the other 50%. Oh, don't mind us. We're just going to slip this extra $100 a month on your bill and without you realizing it.
They'll call you a liberal socialist if you want any sort of governmental or congressional or just citizen oversight over any or all this entire process. They'll say that you're a socialist, that you don't support capitalism or a free market. This is not a free market. No one else can compete in this market. This is a market – no kids at this table.
Yes.
That's what they say.
And then if you just want to understand a K-shaped economy, look no further than these situations. Okay? It really is the have-nots and the have-yots.
Yeah, you often say that, and it's often very, very true. I mean, these people, they live on a different planet, live on a different world. I'm just reminded of Theo Vaughn going on Joe Rogan and having this existential moment of, like, everything's so bad, run by evil people. What are we going to do about this? And Rogan, who's a billionaire, is like, you just need to come out, hang out with me and my friends. And like, okay, well, I'm sure it's great for you. I'm sure it's great for people that make millions of dollars doing comedy, people that make millions of dollars doing business, whatever. The average American that's not able to benefit from these various Ponzi schemes is dying in the street.
They are dying in the street. And I mean, Meta, Google, Microsoft, and Amazon are planning on spending $220 billion alone in 2025. And they can't even pay their fair share.
Right.
And they get also tax incentives and tax breaks for building these data centers.
Yeah, you don't get a tax center for building the house. Oh, no, we forget about that.
Nope, not at all.
For data center, absolutely.
Come on in.
That's right.
And here's the thing. The people who are in positions of power, they are trying to say, oh, we've got your best interest in mind, but they're also bringing more money into the city budget. But then it's like, well, what are you spending that money on, too?
It almost comes to the idea that the country isn't the GDP. The country isn't the gross domestic product. The country is the people and how the people are doing. And the people are not doing great. And the Dow at 50,000, Pam Bondi.
The S&P 500.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We hear about all this. But when do we hear about benefits coming to us at home? We get more pesticide. We get more data centers. We get more scams.
And we get fake dividends.
That's right.
I'm waiting for my 2K. I'm also waiting for my Doge dividend. What happened to that, Rex?
Waiting for the Doge dividend. Waiting for COVID payments. Now we're waiting for the new $2,000 tariff dividend. It's all going to work out magically. Because leadership says so. We don't think so. We're here to cover the real news. We're going to be back with a deep dive here in a few seconds. Go to thealexjonesstore.com for all your favorite vitamins, minerals, supplements, shirts, apparel, and various products. Thealexjonesstore.com is the place to be. It's where you want to be. We're going to be right back after this break.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down, to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. And I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document. The potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customers 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
We hope you're powering through yours, whether you're getting a cup of coffee, walking the dog, going to the gym, or going to work. We're honored that you choose to spend this time here with us. We're going to continue the deep dive now. Your thoughts?
Yes, a lot of the things that I was talking about earlier on the segment had to do about the physical infrastructure, the costs that are coming in terms of a monetary standpoint. But then we got to look at the physical aspects and what it's having impact on people's physical health.
Right, right.
Okay, there are Americans that are already living. You may be one of these people that are living near a data center. I'd actually be curious to DM me on X and tell me if you live near a data center.
Take calls and next
year. Honestly, that is a good idea. If you live near a data center at the bottom of the last hour, We would like to hear from you. Okay. If you are a caller, if you're listening, we would love to hear from somebody who lives near a data center and tell us about what's going on.
We definitely have people that are in more rural areas that are around maybe those sneaky ones being built. So if you're in an area like Louisiana, if you're in an area like the South and they're building one, not a lot of people are talking about it. We do want to hear from you. Go ahead.
Excellent point there. Okay, so we're going to look at this one lady who talks about the data center noises. And for people living near these facilities, the issue is much more. Yeah, the issue is more direct. And so, yeah, it's like a wong, wong, wong. Sometimes,
that's nice.
Depending on like the time of year, sometimes the frequency changes. And these people can, they're like a few hundred yards away and they can hear all the sound that's coming out of this. So let's go ahead and roll this video of somebody who has been dealing with these data centers popping up in her neighborhood.
Donna Gallant has lived on this street in Prince William County, Northern Virginia, for the last 30 years. All very peaceful until 2021, when things started to change. These are Google data centers, and ever since they started rising from the ground, Donna has been looking for answers.
There's no transparency. And
with the data center companies or with local authorities? Or
both.
Yeah.
So anytime you ask a question, it's, oh, we signed an NDA, we can't talk about it. Oh, we're under NDA, we can't talk about it. So there's no transparency at all.
The site isn't complete yet, but she says the noise is already taking its toll.
When I go to my room at night, the tonal noise immediately triggered my anxiety to the point where I couldn't sleep. I ended up having to go down on my first floor and put noise-canceling headphones on just so I could sleep.
What do you think about that, Rex?
It sounds like a complainer to me. Sounds like that woman's complaining.
You are ungrateful.
You got to be grateful for the data center, right? Don't you know the new golden age is being ushered in right now? Why your baby can't sleep? Why does that matter?
Yeah, why does that matter, Rex? Well, it matters because if you just look at it, when you go to buy your house and you try to get the American dream, they didn't say in the fine print that you'd have a data center that doesn't allow you to enjoy that American dream.
Life, liberty, happiness, and the pursuit of a data center. That's the new rewriting of the Constitution.
That's the new writing of the Constitution. That's a very good point there. And so, I mean, look, you know, it's not just like a tiny sound. It's a constant sound. And it's people are getting the lofts of sleep and the neighborhood starts changing around you. And I mean, a lot of people have seen development, but like the normal development.
Not like this.
Yeah, not like this. You would expect, oh, there's new houses around and it's causing. This is a very big issue for these people.
Sure. Well, think about it. So they're going to build 2,000 square foot houses. They're going to build 100 of them. Let's call that like housing development or whatnot. That's 200,000 square feet. We look at the data center, some of them are more than a million.
Yep.
Square feet. So yep. Just look at that project as an example. And that ain't residential homes being built.
And what you're seeing is, okay, so you know how sometimes you might have like your house in a cul-de-sac and there'll be some surrounding neighborhoods?
Sure.
And then often behind your backyard, there's like a ton of just like forest and land.
Yeah. More of that.
Well, often what happens is that land is zoned and it's zoned for more residential building. So that they
people
can build
people
more.
People want to live on Earth.
Yeah, so they
people
can, live, so they can build the more houses, right? Yeah. And so you'll see these giant plots of land that used to be residential, and they're converting those into commercial plots of land for people to build data centers now. And that's being done at the city level.
Wow.
And that's easy when you have the lobbying and you have the money and you can incentivize the city and say, this will be good for you.
You know what I'm thinking about here? This is all kind of like a retreat to the suburbs, really, Tim, because you look at the collapse of commercial real estate inside of these cities, right? We have these empty office buildings that no one wants to be in, and these people are over leveraged. A lot of foreign people own these buildings.
Yeah.
They go into bankruptcy, whatnot. But you look at someone like Elon and how he's really treated Austin. Sure, he's already got the Tesla factory way out there, but now away from the city, over in that area that's still close enough to be connected to the infrastructure, the power lines and all of it. That's where they're choosing to strategically build these things, much like that Wyoming town that we saw.
Excellent point. And then the Northern Virginia is getting the worst of this. Like we said, they have the highest density on that map. And so you just see Prince William County already has more than 70 data centers. And in some places, Land that has been planned for that housing is being rezoned. And then it's just more projects keep getting proposed and more buildings keep getting pushed closer to homes. And so that cloud infrastructure is not what people want to hear.
The cloud. There is no cloud. It's just somebody else's computer.
The cloud.
Hate to spoil it for you.
It's this mystical, magical thing. But then you also get hit with all of the economic things that happen. So it's not just that people are that it's not just showing up. There are water and environmental things that these AI data centers are doing besides the sound. And so it's showing up in the physical water, not just the water bill.
That's right.
So let's go ahead and play this clip of the impact of the water supply. This lady has to deal with this. Go ahead and roll that clip.
This is my cold water pressure in the kitchen. This is where I fill up water for storage. Those are the things we have to fill up to flush the toilets.
So you can see the sediment from the data center. Wow, and that's just from the water coming out of your faucet.
Yeah, and this is what's in all the pipes.
Just the well itself is probably 20,000, and that's not counting any of the
all faucets. The replacement of the fixtures and faucets and toilets and the lines that come underneath the house.
Wow.
It's overwhelming because you really feel like you are up against this huge wall that you can't penetrate. There's nothing that you can do, and they don't care.
That hit me.
Yeah, me too. Doesn't sound like we have much of a voice, you know? Doesn't seem like they have much of a decision. Yeah, you don't have any water pressure. You got sediment in your water. Just suck it up and deal with it. You know, Tim, have you ever lived in a place where you can't drink the water?
Never.
All right, so I spent a little over a year out in East Texas living in a house with non-potable water. And let me tell you, when you're living off of using like a water bottle or like a gallon jug to like shower or brush your teeth or do any of these things, it's not a fun way to live, okay? And it's a lifestyle, unfortunately, that a lot of these people are having to adopt. You look at the infrastructure, instead of putting in water resources for these people that live out in the boonies or whatever, like I have, I'm not dissing anybody, instead they're going to funnel all the resources to these massive companies, and then you get screwed even worse.
Well, and not just that, they're not providing any like subsidies for you to buy all that bottled water.
Right.
First of all, it's going to be cheaper for you to run a faucet or drink out of tap than it ever will be to buy these giant gallon of jugs just to wash yourself with. That's the equation that's not adding up here. They want to punish you, not give you potable water, have these data centers. You're going to start having Flint, Michigans all over the United States.
Well, it's just going to be the U.S. Like. It's just going to be the U.S.
Right.
That's a new standard, and don't complain about it.
Yeah, don't complain about it. But then again, no one's providing you like a monthly stipend to be able to drink water or, you know, be able to bathe yourself in,
right,
which are just bare minimum essentials that we demand here in America, that it's not too much to ask for. But then, no, Rex, we're going to ask for $200 billion.
That's right.
We're going to ask for $200 billion, right, and we're going to go overseas, throw Tomahawk missiles, close the strait, make all your gas prices go up, and we can't even get people the water and the help that they need back at home. That pisses me off.
It pisses me off, too. It's completely outrageous. I'm right there with you and your energy. I mean, just listen to this. More than 43% of the largest track data centers are in areas of high or extreme water stress. You can't make this stuff up. It's as bad as it could be designed to be that way to hurt you. Like, it's not a mistake.
It's not a mistake.
It's too much to not be a mistake. They want to lower the standard of living here, make the people into slaves, make the people accept that there's no quality of life, there's no liberty in the U.S. You're just an economic unit. All that matters, the Dow goes up, GDP goes up.
Not my President Trump.
That's right. Not my Trump.
Not my Trump.
I'll drink this water.
This water till I die. I don't care if my diesel goes up $500 a gallon.
Yep.
So
indeed.
It's just complete brainwash. But here's the situation now. You know, the broader vision, the broader version is playing out in these dry parts of the country where data centers are competing with huge amounts of water. Then you've got one Microsoft cluster in Arizona that's planned for about 1.83 billion gallons of water a year. Do you know how much that's enough for the amount of people?
61,000.
61,000 people is the equivalency of what they want to do every single year just to run this Microsoft. And so then you got more than 43% of the largest track data centers are in areas with high or extreme stress, like you were talking about.
Wow.
And so This is not only a question of how much electricity these facilities use, but it's also a question of what resources they draw on, where they're being built, and what happens. Now, I'm not sitting here. There's people who are going to make the counter argument here, Rex, right? They're going to be like, well, you use AI every single day. You use all of these systems that we have in place. Why are you complaining? It's not about the infrastructure. It's about location of where it's being built and the fact that we are not coming up with creative ways. These should be like parked super far away from any residential areas. That's the difference.
Everything here is with the god of money in mind and not for the American people. Here's the thing. We talk about it with every sector of the economy that we criticize. We got to live in a world where these huge companies actually have to pay their fair share and it's not passed on to you, the American citizen, because it would be one thing if all these things were being implemented, not even in like a benevolent way, just a benign way, right? In a way designed not to hurt people.
Yeah, and you would think with Meta sitting on that much cash and they only have to pay 50% of the cost to build that infrastructure, well, at least pay more money to have at least the lines go further away from the people so that there's like, if you've got it, like, okay, one of the arguments they're probably gonna be like, oh, well, we need to be close so that way we can connect into these main lines and all these things. No, I want you to build the infrastructure that it takes to have that 100 miles away, maybe 50 miles away where you're not going to feel that impact.
Right.
And so there's all different solutions. We have the brightest minds in the entire world here in America. And you're telling me we can build alien space technology that doesn't allow you to show up on a radar, but we can't figure out how to get water to these AI data plants without making it American suffer?
Right. Well, let's examine this a little bit further, because keep in mind, Tim, they never actually have to pay even to build these things. They either get a loan off their capital or they get a loan from the government. Right. So it's just, oh, we're a oodles, billions and billions, hundreds of billions of dollar company. We can do whatever we want. Money isn't real to us. And if the money isn't real to you, why wouldn't you just go out of your way to make things better for the people and make them like what you're doing? They don't care, and it's beyond not caring. They want to hurt you and your family.
And so, I mean, what communities are giving up? I mean, these projects are usually sold as economic development and jobs and investment and growth and tax base. And, you know, some of that is real, but the full trade-off is rarely presented clearly. And the communities can give up that land. I mean, the communities can give up that land, but they might have – that could have gone for other uses. So you can take the noise – they can take on the visual change and the strain on utilities, but then they're also giving up tax revenue through tax incentive in the packages that are going to look generous and give those to the AI companies.
When are they going to give you a tax dividend to have a kid?
Yep.
You know, when are they actually going to help you out? Oh, we'll give that to you, but only if your family's destroyed, if you're a low-income single mother. You see how all these programs that we get that are designed to benefit us actually hurt us? And in the programs that these companies get, they benefit them to the moon.
Well, here's the best part. I mean, out of the 37 states that offer incentive programs for data centers, Virginia alone gave projects nearly $1 billion in tax savings in one fiscal year. $1 billion. Wow. And not a single drop. We're not getting tax incentives as just the regular person, right? So where is this all headed? That's the real question here. And so, you know, if the current incentives stay in place, it doesn't level off quietly. It's just going to get bigger.
Sure.
And so you're going to see more electricity demand. You're going to see more pressure for utilities around the building of that demand. And then there's also fights over who pays for the transmissions and the substations and the new generations for that power. And then more neighborhoods get pushed closer to these industrial facilities. You get more strain on water in dry regions. You get more pressure on local officials to approve these projects in the name of AI growth competition and all of these different things. And so data centers currently use about 4% of the U.S.'s electricity, and this could rise sharply over the next few years. One estimate says that a household electricity rates could rise as far as 70% if the system does not change.
Wow.
That's a very big increase. And I am sorry at home if you are somebody who's already struggling to pay your electricity bill, if you are already struggling with the things that we've talked about the housing and the water and all the strains that you are putting on a day-to-day basis. There is a single mom. There is a household that is struggling, that is actively going through this. Now, I am at the end of my deep dive, but I do want to hear from you guys back at home. If you are somebody who lives near a data center, if you are someone who experiences this in life, I want you to call that number after the segment, after we have Gary on. It's going to be 1-877-789-2539. I want to hear from you guys.
Nice. We're going to do that. We're going to do that. We really want to hear from people. If you're in a rural area and they're trying to be sneaky and force one of these things on you, we want you to call in, tell us about it, tell us about the construction, how long it's taking, if it's affecting you and your water, your power, all of it. Because here's the thing. They're trying to make us pay a new grid tax. They're trying to say to use the same grid these AI data centers use. You got to pay for the transfer of that energy. You got to pay for the increased infrastructure. They should be the ones paying for it.
Yep.
It's black and white. That cost shouldn't be passed on to you. That cost should be passed on to them. But they're cost adverse, you see, and I actually know the people in the government. I want to go to this Gunther Eagleman meme tweet now that we're done with the deep dive. And I want to make things clear for you, Tim, because maybe you don't understand. Maybe you don't understand what's going on. I want to go to Gunther Eagleman meme tweet. And we're really going to find out what's going on. That's, "Dear Iran, I'm not Obama." Okay. And we can do overhead shot as well. "Dear Iran, I'm not Obama. Dear leader, President Trump."
I mean, this is what AI has come to. You know, you get the AI memes, but then you get the AI to also power your data centers.
Well, look at that. You know that burns the water. You got to pay for the electricity to make that as well. And it's your dear leader giving you a message. "Dear Ron, I'm not Obama." And then like a boomer sees that.
Is that
like
his Gen X? Is that his caption? They chose to learn the hard way.
No, it's not. That's Gunther's caption.
Oh my
yeah.
Lord.
I mean, let's go to Gunther Eagleman right now. Let's just take a look at the selection of a few of the tweets.
Oh, well, I mean, I just see the American flag. I see the hat. He's MAGA through and through, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I read his description.
He's MIGA, okay? He's MIGA. He's Make Israel Great Again.
F-O-F-A. F-A-F-O.
Yeah, see, it's all violence videos. It's all disturbing. It's all outrage and shock porn. Like, that's what these people traffic in. Breaking. Even CNN's Harry Enten admits Republicans now lead Democrats by 5 points in net favorability this midterm cycle. In 2018, Democrats were up 12. In 2006, they were up 18. TDS plagued Democrats are badly behind where they need to be to flip the Senate. Trump's winning. Oh, you remember what the conversation was about keeping the House? See how that's gone out the window completely? And oftentimes, I think it was someone great. They had this phenomenal quote, and it's like, "Why do you have so many mainstream media subscriptions?" He goes, "Well, I want to see what slips through the cracks." So we see over time the propaganda and the messaging getting weaker and weaker because it has to by necessity.
Well, also, I just want to think about something as well. I was talking about this with a friend the other day. I said, do you know how perfect Trump could have had it at the beginning? He had everybody on his side.
Mandate from heaven.
Including the people in the middle were on his side. He won all those swing states, right? So not only does he have the House, not only does he have the Senate, but he survived an assassination attempt.
Yes.
Okay, you put all of those together. Perfect trifecta. That man could have passed any bill to change society, and it would have had the same level of just like going through the House, passing, as we did in 9/11 when we went to war.
This is what we're talking about, Tim, about the concept of political capital, and you have to be very, very, very judicious with how you're going to spend that political capital. Trump has spent his political capital on the war, and the reason why you still see people supporting all this is because of the narrative that you just laid out. It really is a hero's journey, Odysseus, returning home to Ithaca level thing, where you have this like mythical champion of the American people who wins all these battles. And it turns out that he's mythical. From Gunther Eagleman, what are the odds Trump drops another epic F-bomb post in the next 24 hour, responding to Cat Turd saying, "I want meaner Iran tweets today with Trump with more F-bombs." This is our economy. That's what the Dow runs off of.
These guys are doing tricks on it.
It's really crazy.
Doing tricks on it.
They're doing backflips, somersaults, a ninth degree back black belt level back shots. Okay. All right, we're having fun. Let's go ahead and get into clip number four, because I want to pay some homage to the real OG, the guy who kind of really, besides Pat Buchanan, started it all, Ron Paul. I want to play clip number four. Ron Paul booed 12 years ago for wanting no war with Iran.
Rivals here make a passionate case, that all three of them make a passionate case that this is a vital U.S. national security interest. But you disagree.
I disagree because we don't know if they have a weapon. Matter of fact, there's no evidence that they have it. There is no evidence. Israel claims they do not have it, and our government doesn't. I don't want them to get a weapon, but I think what we're doing is encouraging them to have a weapon because they feel threatened. If you look at a map of Iran, we have 45 bases around their country plus our submarines. The Iranians can't possibly attack anybody, and we're worrying about the possibility of one nuclear weapon. Now, just think about the Cold War. The Soviets had 30,000 of them, and we talked to them. The Soviets killed 100 million people and the Chinese, and we worked our way out of it. And if you want to worry about nuclear weapons, worry about the nuclear weapons that were left over from the Soviet Union. Pause They're it. Still floating around. They don't have them all.
Pause it if you would. And look at these orangutans. Go ahead and pull it back up. Look at these orangutans, like these literal like bonobo monkeys that they have surrounding him.
Is that Romney?
Is that Rick Perry or Romney?
It looks like Romney.
Okay, no, that's Romney on the right, and God knows who the guy in the middle is. But you see how back then it's the same narrative as it is now, where they're laughing at you if you say, hey, like, you know, actually, you know, we talked to the Soviets when they had 30,000 nuclear warheads. Why can't we do negotiation with them?
Right.
So
this is at CNN. CNN is still
this
left.
That's Nick Santorum in the middle.
Okay,
so these people who are booing in the crowd would probably be on the left. True.
It's a CNN town hall, but it's a Republican debate.
I see.
This is the neocon spirit.
Not my president.
That's right. And you look at Romney, and maybe we can go back to that, giving him the side eye glance, giving him the stare like this guy has three eyes. No, Mitt Romney, you're on the moon. That's where you're so far away from Earth that you're completely on the moon. And everything he said is true.
But you see the brainwashing. They're like doing this genjutsu, and they're like, you're in a trance. And then you look at it, right? And they're making it seem like what he's saying is absolutely insane. How dare you say these logical, sensical points and positions that you have.
And let's get that photo back up. Let's look at that exchange of the two people. We don't have to play it. You look at Romney giving him the side eye there. One of these figures, Ron Paul, a legendary libertarian conservative American figure, legendary political candidate. His thoughts and ideologies will have ripple effects for centuries to come, and he'll always be hailed as a great hero. And then you have Mitt Romney, a multiple-time failed presidential candidate, just a random guy from Utah, just completely corporate, completely bought out. He has no soul to speak of, and Ron Paul does have a soul. So when we look at these events 20, 30, 40 years into the future, it's all going to be very, very clear who the villain was and who the hero was. And the hero was always the person calling for peace.
Yeah.
Period.
And this was a long time ago too. And we forget about this. It's like going back in loops, and we just forget about the history. We forget about the history, and we've been talking about this for decades now.
Right.
You know, if you think about it. So at this point, now we just gotten to the inflection point where we didn't hear the warning signs before.
Yes.
So are we going to listen now? Are we ready to wake up? Is Congress and all of these neocons ready to wake up? Or are we going to get into a worse situation here, Rex?
Well, you know, Owen Schroyer often says that if logic can't be applied equally, then it should be considered to be propaganda. And, you know, if we're going to apply the facts equally, well, you know, they didn't develop a nuclear weapon back then. So are they going to develop one now? Well, maybe, but probability leans towards no. Even no matter how hard you say they're going to have one, they want to kill us all, they're going to have one. It's been talked about for 35 years. And ultimately, there wasn't an immediate justification to enter the war. We played the clip of Rubio many times. Israel does initial attack. We have to join Israel in the initial attack because we're afraid they're going to kill American soldiers. Of course, the goal of the initial attack was to knock out leadership and have regime change. Spoiler alert, that didn't work. Now we got Trump up there with the Easter Bunny, kind of just like Joe Biden. We're going to be right back with Gary Cardone. It's going to be a phenomenal interview. Thank you so much for being here with us. A powerful broadcast. Follow Gray Area Talks on X. Go ahead and do it.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors, and that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition, that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts, this is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts. and they're symbols of your support and you're being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. This is personally one of my favorite shirts in the new line. Now here's the classic InfoWars logo on a white shirt. Never done black on white. Seems like we should have. Looks great. Got the 1776 on the shoulder. You are literally funding and supporting and wearing your uniform in the fight to defeat the globalists. InfoWars is 28 years old. America is 250. And look at the back of this clean shirt. USA 250, 1776 forever. Semi-quintennial, that means 250, baby. America's birthday with badass hats as well. And then, of course, we've got the new limited edition, America at 250 years old. And the back of these shirts are amazing Americana. And I designed this, the Betsy Ross flag with 250 on it. Get yours now, thealexhillstore.com. I'm back because I forgot one point that I want to be very clear about. This is a fundraiser. We need funds to continue on and the new operation. It's urgent. These are historic shirts. You've taken the info war this far. Please take action now. For those of you who have been on the fence over body thing, thealexhillstore.com, but have shared links and things, I appreciate you. But come on, folks. We're the tip of the spear. We need you. We need your support. You're the tip of the spear. Thank you so much.